beautiful prayer, which was often sung by our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine
Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tatatishva Patantikam.
This beautiful prayer, which was often sung by our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is revealing the mood of humility of the great Vaishnavas. Yesterday was the disappearance day of Narottam Das Thakur. In his honor, we would like to speak something in regard to the beautiful spirit of devotion he is sharing with the world through this song. Golokera Pramadana Harinam Sankirtana. Narottam Das composed a verse which describes how the holy name of the Lord has descended from the spiritual world. It is not something of this world of relativity. The Absolute Truth is the source of everything that exists. In the ultimate feature, the Absolute Truth resides within His eternal abode, far beyond the limitations of material creation. There the Lord performs unlimited pastimes of ecstatic love with Himself, His expansions, His devotees. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. The Absolute Truth divides into two forms of Radha and Krishna for the purpose of eternal pleasurable pastimes of love. The love of Radha and Krishna is the origin of all love. It is the only true love. And all living entities have been expanded directly or indirectly for the purpose of participating in this supreme pastime of ecstatic affection. It is from that pure spiritual world that the holy names of Krishna has descended into this material world. The name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. The form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, the infinite mercy of the Lord is within the name, is the name. The Lord is so kind, makes His abode, His pastimes, and His munificent presence accessible to everyone and anyone through the holy names. Krishna appeared in this world at the latter part of the Dwapara Yuga, and reveal the pastimes of Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. Then he departed from this world. Like the setting of the sun, he disappeared from our limited vision, only to rise in another universe to reveal his divine pastimes, to attract our hearts, to attract our minds, away from material enjoyment and again into his devotional service. In the age of Kali, which is a time of great suffering, uncertainties at every step and at any moment of life. One day we celebrate, and the next thing we suffer over the same thing. It happens so often. A child is born and there's great celebration and joy. The child dies and there's great, great lamentation. As a sannyasi, I have seen marriage ceremonies are full of celebration and joy and jubilance and singing about how glorious the occasion is, and so much happiness and decorations. But in this age of Kali Yuga, oftentimes we see a short time later so much suffering. In the Western world, 70% are divorces. It's not a time of celebration. So much pressure, so much suffering. People get joy out of friendship, and then the friend betrays us, and there's so much animosity. There's victory. In India, you have your cricket and your soccer. When there's victory, there's so much celebration. But when there's defeat, there's equal amount of lamentation. So that is the nature of this world. Everything is uncertain. Life itself is uncertain from one moment to the next. Actually, when we realistically think about life, it's incredible that anyone lives day after day. There's so many ways and so many means that death can come upon anyone. Driving in a car, riding in an airplane, walking down the street, breathing the air. Danger everywhere. This is reality. Kali Yuga is a very difficult place. Life is uncertain. Wealth is uncertain. Relationships are uncertain. But there's one benediction: that the Supreme Lord descends to personally promote the chanting of his names. Because in the chanting of these names of the Lord, the real fulfillment that the heart is always longing for can be realized. We are eternal. All of our endeavors to find relief or shelter in the temporary objects of uncertainty within this world only divert our attention away from our real purpose of life. But devotees, with the faith in their heart, they rest their shelter and their purpose in Krishna. And Krishna is so kind that he has descended within his holy name, and then he descends again as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to teach us how to chant the holy names. No hard and fast rules. Last night we saw this very beautiful, emotionally surcharged drama of Srila Thakur Haridas. The script was directly taken from the pages of the holy scriptures. Haridas Thakur was a man of true compassion. He was a person who was willing to sacrifice his life to help others become happy in Krishna consciousness. He had such unlimited faith in the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, he was so dear and so very much empowered by the Lord to share his treasure with others. Haridas Thakur he did not discriminate who was fit or unfit to receive the chanting. In fact, by very high ritualistic sectarian conceptions of the Hindu religion, he was not qualified. He was from the birth of an outcast family. But yet thousands and thousands of people of all religions were accepting him as their spiritual master. Because a saintly person is not judged by any external social considerations, but the qualities of love, compassion, and self-control that they exhibit in their lives, their spirit of service. Haridas Thakur was sometimes living in caves with snakes, but he didn't mind. He was happy just chanting Hare Krishna. So absorbed in the holy name that the pleasures and pains of this world were not a concern for him. But the pains of others were a great concern for him. Therefore, he did not remain in his cave, but he went out to preach. This is the glories of the holy name. He had such conviction that those who sincerely take to the chanting of the name will be delivered, that he was willing to die for that purpose. Now we see people are willing to die for all sorts of nationalistic or ritualistic or sectarian purposes. But Haridas Thakur was trying to give the universal treasure of love of God, which is the essence and ultimate goal of every religion that has ever manifested from God on this earth. It is the unifying principle that can bring about love for God and love for others beyond all materialistic conceptions. Today, what goes in the name of love is based on common material identifications with others. The body, the mind, They are temporary coverings. The real source of life within us is the eternal soul, which is part of Krishna. And it is that soul that is longing to love and be loved. In the age of Kali, people are cast in such a network of ignorance that they have no clue of who they are, what are their real needs and wants. They're simply like puppets dancing according to Maya, who is pulling the strings of the three modes of material nature, with no purpose, with no resting place, where we are trying to make our shelter and our happiness in little drops of water on the lotus leaf of this material cosmos. And at any moment that water will be gone. That is reality. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends to personally give himself through his name. He descends to teach us himself how to chant the holy names. He performs beautiful pastimes with his devotees just to attract our hearts to his holy names. Narottam Das Thakur, he is revealing in the first verse of this prayer his deep appreciation for the holy name, his desire in life is not wealth. Actually, when he was young, he was born in a Kayasta family. And his father, Raj Krishna Nanda Dutt, was a very, very wealthy zamindar, or landowner. He had fabulous riches. But Narottam Das Thakur had no inclination toward enjoying any of it. From his early childhood, he was so much attracted to hearing the message of Lord Krishna. And he was especially very much eager to hear the pastimes and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. When he would hear about such great personalities as Haridas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Rup and Sanatan Goswamis, when he heard about their love, about their compassion, about their intense devotion, he wanted that so much. Just by hearing the glories of the Lord, such an intense thirst awakened in his heart. For a person who is longing for nectar, what satisfaction will he find drinking some rotten sewage water? Now for hogs, drinking rotten sewage water is their nectar. But for the demigods, it has no attraction whatsoever. For one who tastes the sweetness of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and drinks through the ears that nectar, then the temporary pleasures of this world have no appeal. Narottam Das Thakur was the only son. He was to inherit large, large estate. But he would simply hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And ultimately he left everything to go to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, he met with the great Vaishnavas. And he was inspired within his heart to accept Lokanath Goswami as his spiritual master. Lokanath Goswami was living practically in seclusion near the banks of the river Jamuna. Due to the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, he was practically constantly immersed in feelings of separation from them. As he would remember the beautiful pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, and always chanting his names, Lokanath Goswami had nothing material. He was wearing tattered rags on his body. He was just living in a simple one-room thatched hut, bhajan kutir, no furniture, no possessions. By material standards, he was in abject poverty. Narottam Das Thakur left beautiful palaces, wealth, fame and position, and with tears in his eyes, he was begging Lokanath Goswami, please give me what you have. By material calculations, there's no logic to this. He had nothing. He's a prince asking a beggar. That's how Lokanath Goswami would eat. He would do madhukari. He would just go begging from house to house from times and get some old roti or some fried chickpeas. Simplest poor man's food he would be given. But Narottam Das Thakur wanted that. Lokanath Goswami was thinking, this is a very, very empowered person. He's a prince. Very, very highly educated, very blessed by Lord Chaitanya. I've never taken disciples, and I have no qualification to initiate such an exalted person as this. So he refused. He refused to accept Narottam Das Thakur as his disciple. But Narottam Thakur, in his humility, he didn't demand, he did not command, because that is not what a disciple does, demand or command from the spiritual master. If you actually want the mercy of Krishna coming through Guru, it is very much dependent on your receptivity. And our receptivity is according to our desire to serve, desire to please, desire to hear. So Narottam, he wanted to serve his Guru Maharaj. But his Guru Maharaj was so humble, he would not even allow anyone to serve him. So he did it secretly. Nobody knew, including his own Guru Maharaj. Not a single person in Vrindavan, except Radha and Krishna, knew what he was doing. He was going every day to clean up the place where Lokanath Goswami would come to respond to the calls of nature before he took his very early morning bath in the dark in Jamuna River. After some time, Lokanath Goswami was wondering why this place is so clean every morning. How could this be? So he decided one morning to go very early. And he was hiding in the beautiful bushes of Braja to see what is happening. And there he saw young Narottam with tears of love flowing from his eyes, picking up the stool in the urns with his own hands and cleaning it away and making everything very nice. Lokanath Goswami was overwhelmed. He could not believe this. He came out from the bushes. Narottam, what are you doing and why? You are a prince. You are a person who is coming from a high family. What are you doing this for? Narottam Das Thakur simply spoke from his heart that this, dear Guru Maharaj, is the greatest treasure of my life. I have renounced everything else of the world and I have achieved this great fortune to render humble menial service to the Lord's devotees. Then Lokanath Goswami understood his sincerity and gave him initiation. On the Shravana Purnima, Narottam Das Thakur, along with Srinivas Acharya and Shyamanand Prabhu, studied under Sri Jiva Goswami. They became his most outstanding students. They charmed the hearts of all of the devotees in Vrindavan by their qualities of humility and complete determination on the path of bhakti. They were very highly learned. But if a person is proud of his learning or her learning, then that knowledge is attractive to people of less intelligence, but not at all to the Lord or those who are wise. Because if we actually understand the fundamental principles of knowledge, we understand that I'm not the doer. My intelligence is coming from Krishna. My power to breathe is coming from Krishna. The air that I breathe is coming from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained, when you go to the river Ganga or Jamuna, you take water and you offer it back as an offering of gratitude and love. Now Jamuna does not need your water. You're taking the water from Jamuna and you're offering it back as an act of gratitude. If you offer it back with pride, Jamuna doesn't accept the offering. But if you offer it with humility and gratitude and love, then Jamuna would consider that handful of her own water as such a priceless gift. In a similar way, Krishna is the source of everything. Sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. Through his diversified energies, everything materially and spiritually is existing. Krishna needs nothing from us. But Krishna is Rasaraj. It is his nature. The whole purpose of creation, of existence, is to facilitate eternal love. And those who by their free will utilize whatever there is for that purpose, they enter into the pastimes of the Lord. And those who by their misuse of independence utilize the Lord's energies in the form of his creations for their own personal selfish interests, then that is what they get. Some temporary happiness, some temporary suffering, just going on and on and on and on, birth after birth after birth. But the real treasure of life is to understand that I am completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Wherever there is material opulences that are harmonized with the principle of humility, there is something very powerful that has a very deeply attractive nature to God and to the world. So although Narottam Das Thakur was so highly learned, he never considered himself better than another. He understood it is all the Lord's mercy. His mercy is all that I am made of. And in this spirit, he was always the servant of the servant of the servant of everyone. At a certain time, Jiva Goswami sent Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Prabhu to Bengal with the books of the Goswamis. Lokanath Goswami gave three instructions to Narottam Das. They went, and ultimately Srinivas Acharya sent Narottam Das Thakur to his native place, Kechuri Gram, to preach. And Narottam Das Thakur wrote a letter and sent it by messenger to Lokanath Goswami. In that letter, he's offering a prayer. He's crying. He's saying, "My Lord, my dear spiritual master, you are so merciful. I was in this desolate condition of materialistic bondage. And by your causeless mercy, with the ropes of your love, you bound me up and you dragged me to Sri Braj Bhumi, the land of Vrindavan, the eternal world of the Lord. And you gave me residence there. But because of my offenses, because I am so unqualified, you kicked me out of Brajdham and sent me again into this material world. This was his mood. So Lokanath Goswami sent him instructions. It is the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the message of Vrindavan should be preached out of compassion for the fallen souls of this world. So you should install deities of Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna. And you should establish worship wherever you are. You should serve the Vaishnavas. And you should show compassion to the fallen conditioned souls by propagating the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Sri Narottam Das Thakur took these words very seriously. Srila Prabhupada received a similar instruction from his spiritual master. He was living in Vrindavan at Radha Damodar Temple, the same place Narottam Das Thakur was studying under Jiva Goswami. The same place Narottam Das Thakur was reading the books of the Goswamis and writing prayers. Srila Prabhupada was also studying the books of the six Goswamis and writing transcendental literatures. And by the order of his spiritual master, he was sent physically to be away from Vrindavan for the purpose of expanding the glories of Vrindavan throughout the world. They were carrying Vrindavan in their hearts and revealing the spiritual world wherever they met, to whomever they met. So Narottam Das Thakur, he was greeted by his cousin brother, Santosh Dutt, who out of, what do they say, default, because the actual heir to the whole property, Narottam, renounced the world and left everything to live in the forests of Vrindavan. They gave everything to his cousin. By the time Narottam Das Thakur returned, his parents, uncles, they had left this world. So first thing, Narottam Das Thakur preached to him, and he became a devotee amongst others. And they accepted wholeheartedly his teachings. Santosh Dutt, although he was a householder, he was living at home, he was taught how to utilize everything in the service of the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in a dream to Narottam Das Thakur. He also appeared in a dream to Ishwari Janava Devi. He told Narottam Das Thakur that I want you to install my deity form. My deity, along with my consort, Bishnupriya, is in a granary of a wealthy merchant. But that granary is infested with snakes. Go and take me out of that place. Bring me, build a temple, and install me. and have the installation on my appearance day of Palgun Purnima, Gaura Purnima, and invite all associates, all my devotees from the various countries around, and I will personally appear in your Harinam Sankirtan. So Narottam Das Thakur accepted this order with great faith. He was asking, is there any granaries that are infested with snakes? Does anybody know? How many people search for something like that? This was his faith. He was asking all the villagers and townspeople from various places, do you know any granaries infested with snakes? People said, yes, we know this place. So he went to the owner and said, I want to go in your granary. He said, no. For years, not a single person has gone in there. Although there's so many grains stored in that facility, it's infested with snakes. You can hear them. It's like this kirtan of snakes always going on. Psss. Hundreds of snakes. Everyone. Psss. Everyone. Louder. Louder. Everyone. That's what it sounded like. But you are nice, pious people. These are envious snakes. Yes. So he said that he brought snake charmers who had mantras to subdue snakes. And they chanted their mantras. And the snakes just went on. In this way. He abandoned all hope. This is, you see, when you associate with me, you all become like snakes. That is the problem. They abandoned all hopes and just shut down that granary. Nobody would even go near to it. He said, you cannot go there. You will die. These snakes are very, very angry and very full of venom. So Narottam Das Thakur said, no, I will go. There is no problem. No, you can't go. Nobody goes. Narottam Das Thakur just went right to the granary, pried open the doors, which were bolted down to keep the snakes inside, and just walked right in. Immediately as he went in, thousands of all varieties and all sizes of venomous snakes just started pouring out of the place. And they all left, never to come back. In procession. So Sri Narottam Das Thakur went in, and he looked around, and he came out with a beautiful, beautiful deity of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he went back in and he came out with a beautiful deity of the Lord's consort, Bishnupriya. And he was singing Sankirtan as he was walking with these deities, and he brought them to Kechuri Gram, where the devotees there began to build a beautiful temple and an altar for them. Then Narottam Das Thakur began to travel to various places to meet the Vaishnavas. During his travels, there are so many beautiful stories of how he went to Jagannath Puri. He went to Ekachakra Gram, the place of Lord Nityananda's appearance in childhood. He went to Srikhanda, to Jajigram to meet Srinivasacharya, to Narasinghapur to meet Shyamananda Goswami. He was going so many Shantipur to meet Achyutananda, to Kardaha to meet Janava Devi. Traveling and traveling, and informing everyone about this wonderful festival of Gaur Purnima. In fact, Srinivasacharya and himself wrote a beautiful invitation. This was really a devotional invitation. It wasn't that they just went to a card shop and ordered it and then came off the press. Each invitation was personally handwritten with such respect and affection. Anybody who just held that invitation, their hearts would melt in love. Now invitations, email invitations. But there was such a personal feeling. They had very, very sincere devotees carrying these various invitations, sometimes hundreds of kilometers, many, many, many miles to go to the residences of these various invitees, and personally, with tears of love in their eyes, give them the invitation with folded hands and beg them to honor it. That is what culture used to be like. Now, certainly there are advantages to airmail and email and all sorts of other ways of communication, billboards, hoardings, television advertisements, radio advertisements. But there is certainly something missing there from the way things could be. Everything was very personal. And love means sacrifice. To put much energy into what we do for the Lord is what is so pleasing. Just like last week, we celebrated Sarat Purnima. Some of our very dear brahmacharis, they worked for so many weeks just to make arrangements for one darshan, for one beautiful offering to the Lord. And every little detail, for those of you who seriously examined, every little detail, every inch, they try to make something wonderful for Lord Krishna and for the devotees to find pleasure in. Sacrifice is one of the qualities of love. Through sacrifice, we actually awaken our natural love. And through sacrifice, we express our love. That is actually what the word sacrifice really is intended to mean. Offering of love through accepting inconveniences for the interest of another person. Recently, I met one lady, very virtuous lady, and she inquired that I've given so much of my heart and my life to raise my children. And people praise me that I have done such sacrifices for them. But I don't think it's a sacrifice, because I like to do it. I'm actually happy doing it. sacrifice is something where you're miserable, you don't like to do it, but you do it. Somehow you just do it. Because it needs to be done. Huh. Sacrifice. But I like to do it. I like to give up everything else for the interest of my children. It brings me happiness. We explained that that's actually real sacrifice. Sacrifice means dedicating yourself for the interest of others. The sacrifice of a philanthropist. There has been social workers who have gone into the jungles of Africa or the tribal areas of India. Primitive conditions, diseases, dangers of people misunderstanding you as an enemy and threatening your life, and yet they go on year after year for the welfare of others. That is a sacrifice. A wife toward her husband, a husband toward a wife. Through so many trials and tribulations, they remain faithful, they remain true to each other for the benefit of the other. Sacrifice. Mother for child. Mother just wants some peace of mind. Everybody. Something like that. Baby's crying. But actually, all of you together are not as loud and as abruptive as one baby who cries during class. Because they actually mean it. It comes from their heart when they cry. So, the mother, she just abandons everything for the child. Sarva dharman parityajya. She just abandons everything for that child. So that is sacrifice. And ultimate sacrifice is the sacrifice for the supreme object of our love, for Krishna. The sacrifice of body, mind, words, life for Krishna. At the beginning, we make sacrifice out of discipline. But we don't really like it. Sometimes we like it. Sometimes we do not like it at all. Bhagavad Gita. What does it say? Krishna says, I am sacrifice. In what form? Japa. Krishna says, of sacrifices, I am japa, chanting of the holy names. Yagyai sankirtana praya janti hi shumedasha. In this age of Kali, those who have good intelligence, they will perform the sacrifice of chanting the holy names. Now, what does it mean to sacrifice? We have our attention, we have our time, we're actually giving that to the holy name. Giving that amount of time in the day and giving our attention, giving our consciousness to just chant and hear, to worship the holy name. That is sacrifice. Now, some people, it's a difficult sacrifice. Just to sit down and to chant. So many things we'd rather be doing. We could be watching television. We could be listening to music. We can be running around the beach for good health. We could be reading the newspaper in the morning to get updates of what's happening in the world. We could be gossiping.
with our friends. We can be going back to sleep. So many things I could be doing. There's unlimited things that you can do at that time of the day. Sacrifice means you sit down to chant. Now you're sitting down to chant. That's a physical sacrifice. You're sitting down. And you have your beads in your hand. It's a sacrifice of the body. And then your tongue is moving. That's also a sacrifice of the body. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But then your mind. You may be here, but your mind may not be anywhere even close by. That is the nature of the mind. Yato, yato, nischalati, manaschanchanamastaram. Very flickering, very uncontrollable. Have any of you ever had that experience before? Where you're sitting to chant the holy name and your tongue is going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and your mind is going, vroom! Sometimes it goes to where you were a year ago. Sometimes it goes to your childhood. It's like a time machine. It just goes to all phases of time. Sometimes it's projecting into the future. Sometimes it's chastising someone. Sometimes it's embracing someone. Sometimes it's going to the moon or other planets. That is the power of the mind. And there's a whole creation for the mind to wander into. There's unlimited desires with stored up within the mind. And the mind can take shelter of any of those desires at any moment, even when you're sleeping. So sacrifice means yato yato nishchalati. Just keep bringing your mind back to the holy names. It's difficult sometimes. But what is that sacrifice? The name is Krishna. The name is Sri Radharani. This Maha Mantra has descended from Goloka Vrindavan. It is the Yugala Kishore, the divine couple who have appeared within sound vibration to attract the love of our hearts. That sacrifice is worship. We are giving up our own interest for the pleasure of another, of Krishna. Watering the root of the tree of all of existence. How noble, how glorious. But as we become purified, as we follow the regulative principles of freedom with sincerity, we attract the mercy of the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktiruchyate. Krishna is the Lord of the mind. He is the Lord of the senses. He is Manohar. He will steal the mind. He will enchant the mind by His beautiful, charming, divine qualities. Then it becomes the greatest pleasure to chant. Then we simply love to chant. Then if we have to do anything else, it becomes, oh, I have to leave my japa to do this. I will surrender. Haribo. So yes, sacrifice of love is the greatest pleasure of the soul. Haridas Thakur was finding satisfaction being beaten in 22 marketplaces because he knew he was pleasing Krishna. Although he was being beaten and beaten and beaten, we saw those two men beating him last night. How would you like to be beaten by those two men? 22 marketplaces, all day long, just brutally, severely beating him. And he was just taking shelter of the holy name. And the whole time they were beating him, he was smiling. He was happy. Because
He was pleasing Krishna by just going on chanting the holy names, by giving up his very life for the welfare of others. He was pleasing Krishna, and that sacrifice was giving him unlimited internal ecstatic happiness. More than anyone can experience in this world, either living in a paradise or through any varieties of pleasures of the mind and senses. People are looking for happiness through relations with others, through wealth, through prestige, through power, through going to various places, through intoxications. So many ways people are struggling to find happiness in this world. But Haridas Thakur was experiencing unlimitedly more bliss, being thrown on the street and brutally beaten. Because real happiness is of the heart. It is the happiness of sacrifice. Because Krishna is pleased when we try to help others to come to the platform of loving Him. That is happiness. Unimaginable and inconceivable, but it is the happiness within all of our hearts that has been forgotten. So this lady, when we explain that actually you are doing sacrifice, but it's a higher level of sacrifice if you actually like to do it. Because then your heart is actually enjoying doing what helps others. And when that same tendency is directed toward the Paramatma, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, and those things in relationship to the Lord, that is the perfection of sacrifice. It is the perfection of love. So in this way, these devotees went through great trouble to personally deliver these handwritten invitations to each of the Vaishnavas, begging, please come to Ketrigram. It is Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. We are going to install the deities on the order of the Lord. Shall I continue? Thank you. So these devotees from all different provinces were so much attracted. Janava Devi, the consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, she was the most exalted and respected of all Vaishnavas in the whole world because of her very senior position as the consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the very energy of Nityananda Prabhu, and because of her personal qualities, realizations of love and compassion. In the spiritual world, Ananga Manjari, the sister of Sri Radharani, what is her great position? So she led one party from Kadaha on the bank of Ganga, not far from Panihati, where she resided. Two of her disciples were the two children of Nityananda Prabhu, who were born of his co-wife, Vasudha. Their name was Birchandra and Ganga. Birchandra was incarnation of Kirodakshayi Vishnu. Tomorrow, I believe, is his appearance day. Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita praises Birchandra, that from the trunk of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the main branch is Birchandra, whose compassion, his selfless mercy, was profusely distributed to everyone, everywhere. He was the very embodiment of divine love. So she took leave of her family, and with the associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who were always serving her and honoring her, they began their journey. And everywhere they went, other great devotees and people began joining their procession. In Shantipur, Achyutananda, the son of Advaita Prabhu, came. Vrindavan Das Thakur, large contingency, growing and growing and growing. And when they came to the banks of the Padma River on the outskirts of Keturi, Narottam Srinivas and Shyamananda Prabhu, along with the help of Santosh Dutt, they arranged such beautiful temple, beautiful residences, wonderful storehouses of grains and vegetables to cook feasts of prasad. They had built beautiful boats to carry them across the river. In fact, Santosh Dutt practically utilized the whole treasury of the kingdom just to serve the great persons who were coming to his festival. Now, if people knew that such virtuous work was going to be used from their taxes, people would be spontaneously standing in line to give more tax. How many people are like that today? For those of you who may be accountants, you know the secrets that you cannot reveal of how practically everybody is trying to somehow or other find a legal loophole to pay less tax. Yes? Isn't that part of intelligence in this age of Kali? But when you see that whatever the tax is being given, it's going for such virtuous, glorious causes where everybody is being uplifted and benefited, then the people, take more tax, more tax. So when these devotees came, each devotee was given a personal servants to take care of them. All their needs, to the most intricate details, were being tended to with such humility and genuine heartfelt desire to serve and to please. They're serving of the body and they're serving of the heart. Devotees serve from their hearts with their bodies. If you go to a restaurant, they will serve you. If you go on an airplane, they will serve you. But they're serving you because they get money. And if there was no money, there would be no one to serve you. But devotees serve out of love. Not simply out of duty, but out of affection. These devotees were trained up by Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Goswami, and Srinivasacharya. In fact, they were so humble, they specifically, painstakingly trained their disciples in the principles of humility and love and the great benediction and fortune of rendering service from their hearts. They were trained in hearing the glories of Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, and serving Vaishnavas and reaching out in a spirit of great compassion to serve those of this world. And they saw their own Guru Maharajas serving those who were senior to them. They weren't bewildered. There was no competition. It was a network of love. They weren't thinking, huh? My Guru Maharaj is serving Raghunandan Thakur? Raghunandan Thakur was a direct associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a dear associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunandan Thakur, my Guru Maharaj, is bowing down at his feet and he's giving my Guru Maharaj blessings. I should just surrender to Raghunandan Thakur. Forget this Narottam Das or Srinivas or Shamananda. Go for the highest. Nobody's thinking like that. They're seeing how Narottam Das Thakur is serving this senior Vaishnava, Achyutananda. When Achyutananda was a little boy, Lord Chaitanya would embrace him and not let go. And Achyutananda would not let go of the Lord. Vrindavan Das Thakur said there was no one more dear to Lord Chaitanya than Achyutananda, the son of Advaita Prabhu. He came. And all the devotees, the gurus are serving him. And the disciples are ecstatically pleased just to assist their spiritual master in serving the senior Vaishnavas. This is culture. By doing this, they get the complete blessings of the senior most Vaishnavas for assisting their spiritual masters and serving them. It's not that the Narottam and Shamananda and Srinivas are saying, I cannot bow down to these persons in front of my disciples. What will they think? They will think I am inferior to them. Their faith will be confused. That thought never could cross the minds of these pure souls. They are senior. Let us surrender in front of everyone. And let us engage all of our disciples in the service of these senior devotees. Such a family atmosphere of inspiration. So in this way, these great souls and all their disciples were serving the personal associates of Lord Chaitanya, who even came with their disciples. Servant of the servant of the servant. Such a wonderful environment. Everyone was given accommodations. Everyone was given special prasad cooked with such love and care. Then Gaur Purnima came. And Srinivas Acharya was directed to perform the Abhishekam, to install 6 sets of deities. The one set of Lord Chaitanya and Vishnupriya were found in the snake granary. And the other 5 sets of deities Lord Nityanand or Narottam Das Thakur had personally carved and brought to Khetri Gram for the installation. Now Srinivas Acharya, although he's taking such a senior position of being the head priest, he went to Janava Devi with tears of love in his eyes and bowed at her feet and asked for her permissions and blessings to perform this service. And then he went to all the other senior Vaishnavas and asked for their blessings and permission with such humility. And seeing how he sincerely was humbling himself to want their good wishes so much that they just showered blessings on him from their hearts. And then he felt that I have some qualification and some right to perform this service. Not that I am doing it, But by the blessings and the order of these great souls, they will do it through me.
That is the mood of a devotee.
When we perform deity worship, we first worship our spiritual master. And then the mood is, I have no qualification to worship Gorni Thai or Radha Gopinath. Who am I to touch them? Who am I to personally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Therefore, we worship the spiritual masters, and with their blessings, with their order, they are using us as instruments. And then we have a right to render that service. That is deity worship. So Srinivasacharya made all nice arrangements, chanted the proper mantras, abhishekam, with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, all the six sets of deities were named. They were installed in the altar. Meanwhile, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he trained his devotees to play instruments and sing in kirtan with such artistic love. Because according to our capacity, we should try to render devotional service. If you have artistic instrumentalist qualities, then use them to the fullest for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever qualities of artistry your voice has, or whatever ways you dance, use it to its fullest for Krishna's pleasure. And if your fullest is not much of anything, then that is perfect. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was in his last days in this world, one devotee with a very sweet, beautiful voice was singing bhajans. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called for someone who didn't really sing with proper melodious notes at all. But he sang from his heart with feeling and devotion. That is the content of devotional service. Our sacrifice to please. That is the meaning of worship. The sacrifice of pleasing another, Krishna, his devotees. So, Narottam Das Thakur had the instruments playing. Oh, such a sweet atmosphere. As they were playing these instruments, there was such love and devotion. He had the instruments personally handmade, the mardangas, the kartals. And as soon as they were made, his kirtan associates, Gauranga, Devidas, Ramchandra, they personally went and worshipped those instruments as the paraphernalia of the Lord. They were playing the instruments. And Narottam Das Thakur organized, he was like the orchestrator. Devidas began singing. Then Narottam Das Thakur personally began to sing. At the beginning of the kirtan, he was singing very soft and very slow and very sweet. First praising the spiritual masters. Then he began to praise Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their causeless mercy so sweetly. The kirtan began to build up and build up. Then Raghunandan Thakur, this great acharya, he personally had sandalwood made in garlands and personally worshipped each pair of kartals, each murdanga, each gong, whatever instruments were there for the kirtan, he garlanded, put chandan, and offered prayers to worship them. Then Raghunandan Thakur, although he was one of the senior most mahants, he was personally putting chandan and garlands on every devotee in the kirtan and worshipping them. Narottam Das Thakur was singing with so much love and devotion, crying out the holy names and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The kirtan was becoming so filled with bhakti. It was intensifying with emotion at every moment. Then Narottam Das Thakur began to dance as he was singing. By this time, the great senior associates of Lord Chaitanya, who were sitting in elevated, respectful places, they were intoxicated by this kirtan. They came down and started embracing Narottam Das Thakur, embracing everybody who's in the kirtan, and they were dancing ecstatically with all the devotees in the kirtan. And when all the devotees saw the senior Vaishnavas dancing amongst them, the sound of the holy names tumultuously permeated all directions.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
These devotees forgot whether it was day or night. They were completely absorbed in the spiritual world of Harinam Sankirtan. They were dancing. They were loudly singing. There was so much love and harmony and emotion amongst each other. Real harmony is not just the harmony of instrumentation and melodious singing, but the real harmony is the harmony of the hearts. Lord Narayan told the Prachetas that you 10 brothers, I have personally come to appear right before your very eyes, awakening love within your hearts, and I've come to grant any benediction you desire. And the reason is because you have pleased me by your friendly, loving relationships with each other in glorifying and serving me. That is harmony. That type of harmony makes a Sankirtan very, very pleasing to the Lord. When love for the Lord and love for each other is emanating from our hearts as we loudly chant the holy name. And it is not limited only to the assembled devotees. We chant the holy names loudly out of our love for all living beings, all human society, all the animal species, the insects, the birds, the fish, the reptiles, even the plants and the trees and the grass and the ground. Wherever there is life, there is the presence of the eternal soul, part of Krishna. The nature of kirtan is together out of love for Krishna, in harmony with each other. We are chanting so all living beings will come in contact with Krishna. That was the mood, that was the spirit of their kirtan. As they were loudly chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and at the crescendo, at the heights of the ecstasies of their kirtan, a great miracle took place. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu personally appeared.
appeared right before everyone's eyes. With his beautiful golden complexion, arms extending below his knees. Beautiful lotus-like eyes that stretched practically to his ears. His lips reddened like the bimba fruit, his nose like the sesame flower. His beautiful hair cascading below his shoulders. His chest was like very wide. His waist was very thin. His arms were like the trunks of elephants. And as he was dancing in this kirtan, torrents of ecstatic tears were pouring from his eyes. Along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came his eternal associates. All those great souls who had departed from this world. There was Haridas Thakur, Rupan Sanatan Goswamis. There was Murari Gupta and Swarup Damodar Goswami. There was Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit. There was Suklambar Brahmachari, Shivananda Sen, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. All of these great souls, Paramananda Puri, Ramananda Rai, Govinda, Kashishwar Pandit, Sadashiva, all of these great souls, hundreds of them, they all appeared from the spiritual world, chanting loudly the holy names while dancing in the kirtan of Narada. Gadadhar Pandit was dancing with Srinivasacharya. Nityananda Prabhu was dancing with Narottam Das Thakur. Advaitacharya appeared. What Ishwari Janava Devi, what ecstasy she must have experienced when she saw her beloved and lost husband appear again before her eyes. What Achyutananda Prabhu must have felt when Advaitacharya, his dear father, who was his life and soul, appeared before his eyes. Raghunandan saw his dear uncle and guru, Narahari. He lamented so bitterly in his separation. He appeared before him dancing and singing. And meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his lotus eyes, was casting glances of love on every single devotee. His eyes were just roaming through the kirtan and personally showering ecstatic feelings of love to each devotee's hearts through his eyes. That is the power of the Lord. Through his glance, he could manifest his unlimited love of his heart. The expansion of the expansion of the expansion of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Karanodakshayi Vishnu. What is the power of his glance? First, he expands from his own heart. Material energy, the prakriti, the mahatattva. It is like a big barren womb of Mother Nature. And then by the Lord's glance, he impregnates the womb of material nature with unlimited living entities who previously, at the pralaya, or at the destruction, the mahapralaya,
When Mahavishnu breathes in, everything goes into his body of this material existence. And all living entities who are still karmically responsible to be within the material world, they all rest in a sleeping state within his body. And at the time of the creation, he impregnates all living entities from his glance. That is the power of the glance of the Lord. But that is a very secondary power within the world of material creation. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original supreme source of all avatars. He is Radha in Krishna, who has appeared, the one form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to bestow their love on the world. So how Lord Gauranga glanced on those devotees, inspiring them with unlimited enthusiasm of love to dance while chanting in the Sankirtan. The kirtan was mad. Transcendental madness. How they were dancing, how they were singing, how ecstatic symptoms were manifesting on everyone's bodies. And because this festival was advertised very nicely by Santosh Dutt to the common people, many just common folks just came to see, what is this festival? They got to see Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates who for years had left this world all together dancing and singing with the Vaishnavas. It is said they were even blind people who were born blind. But during this kirtan, they were given the power to see. Hare Krishna. In an instant, just as the Lord appeared like a flash of lightning, he disappeared, taking all of his associates with him. When the devotees were bereft of the association of the Lord, it was intolerable. Every single person in that kirtan fell unconscious on the ground in separation. Raghunandan was the first to get up. He saw everyone just laying there. And then they all got up. And they were all weeping and crying, where has he gone? The devotees were running in all directions looking for the Lord. But then they realized that he has returned to his abode. How they were weeping, how they were immersed in trying to console each other in the miseries of separation. Now this type of misery is the ultimate happiness. Haribol. It is a spiritual principle that is very difficult to understand. Because the miseries of separation from the Lord bring the remembrance of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, so deeply into the innermost recesses of our heart. And there the Lord reciprocates with our love. Therefore, separation is such an intimate form of transcendental bliss. And Janava Devi, always eager to serve the Vaishnavas, remembering that the Lord promised her that he would appear in this kirtan. She notified Narottam Das Thakur, "It is time to celebrate Holi." So what brings a person, what brings a devotee out of his samadhi of separation? Devotional service. They all came back to their external consciousness and started making wonderful, wonderful arrangements to assist Ishwari Janava in performing Holi. This particular festival of Kheturi Gram was the first celebration of Gaur Purnima from the second generation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. It was a glorious event. In this song, Narottam Das Thakur is singing, When will that moment come when there will be shivering in my body when I chant the holy names of Gauranga? And when will tears pour from my eyes when I chant the names Hari, Hari?
Hari, Hari!
When will Lord Nityananda Prabhu bestow his mercy upon me? When will that day be when I can be freed from all material desires for selfish enjoyment? Because until that day comes, I cannot enter into Vrindavan. Many of us are going to Vrindavan within the next few days to actually experience Vrindavan, to actually see Vrindavan. Cannot be in the mood of a tourist, just looking around with your eyes. This is where Krishna danced with gopis. This is where Krishna swallowed forest fire. Yes, you can see. You can see something according to your consciousness. But Vrindavan is not seen through eyes. Vrindavan is seen by the mercy of Krishna, through our faith, through our love, through our sacrifice, and through our service. Krishna reveals himself according to our surrender. So Narottam Das Thakur is praying in great humility. When my mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then all my spiritual desires will be successful. Wherever this spirit of devotion is shared amongst devotees, wherever the hearing of the glories of the Lord is enacted with sincerity, enthusiasm, and eagerness, wherever the Sankirtan of the holy name is performed with humility, respect, and attention, and wherever service to Vaishnavas and service to the conditioned souls is performed with earnestness, Krishna manifests himself. Then we can actually experience Vrindavan Dham. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Narottam Das Thakur ki jai.